Good evening and welcome everybody. Let me express my great satisfaction for the accomplishment we have been able to realize and that we're going to talk tonight. I think that FILA management did a great job and also a very important gift to FILA stakeholders and to FILA investors for the next year birthday. FILA will be 100 years old in June 2020, and I think that to finalize a deal like this, it's really extremely positive. It was just 3 years ago, in October 2016, when FILA was public for 15 months, more or less. We have started our growth, our differentiation in fine art business, and we had announced the acquisition of Canson, a major acquisition that, if you probably recall, we had to, unfortunately, to record the loss of Arch Distribution that at that time counted for 3.5 to 4 million euro net EBITDA margin, which represented almost 35 to 40% of the EBITDA of Canson. We have decided, fortunately we can say today, to proceed in the acquisition because a strategy should not be dependent on tactical problem or short-term problem. And at that time, of course, the difficulty related to the integration of Canson, the merger with Dalaran, shutting down plants, the organization, of course, we started with this problem of less margins, less cash generation, more than that, less presence in the world market. Arch is probably the most important brand in the world of fine art. Is a brand that is an undisputed leader in every single shop in the world, and clearly the fact that Canson has lost after 46 years of consecutive distribution clearly represented a problem. I think we have been brave. We did a good job not stopping our strategy. Even more difficult, the group Alstrom Mungsjö, the owner of Arch, gave the sole distribution to our most important competitor, the group Colart, the group that we were challenging with our strategy, a group that in the past was strong also in stationery business. They almost withdrew from stationery business and they focused on fine art. So I would say, despite many problems that we all know, we all shared during 2018, we made really an effective diplomatic strategy with the group Alstrom Mungsjö, made by very small things, to the point that at the end of 2018, despite some operational problem, they recognized that for Arch brand, the best group in the world to distribute the product with best results would have been FILA. And again, despite some momentarily operative problems. Thus, we have announced the distribution agreement in April. Just this was already a big accomplishment, because of course Colart reacted and tried in every way to keep the distribution. After the distribution, in our historical DNA, as you know, we don't have space for commercial item. We want to control the production. This, of course, it's a little bit more complicated in terms of cash generation, but in a business like our, in which quality is absolutely compulsory, innovation and differentiation is compulsory to support the brand, and in the future to control the distribution, the e-commerce distribution, for us it was absolutely necessary to convince Alstom Moonshot to sell us the asset. Even more because we have in our portfolio already the follower of Arsh, which is our mill in UK, St. Cuthbert. During the summer holidays, they came back to us accepting the possibility that we could enter in a deal, and here we are. The French law does not allow to close a deal without going into a consultation of the workers, which has happened this morning, has been well received, by the way. Unfortunately, the French law is just changing. So this is the first time that there is a deal with this new French law, so the workers have to nominate new committee, and this will take around 8 weeks. And then, by law, the new committee have 2 months to approve the deal. So we are very unlucky, because we need to postpone the closing in a period that we think will be between February and March. So the positive impact on 2020 numbers will be slightly postponed, probably after the first quarter. But before the distribution and now the announcement of the acquisition has been really has given a strong hit to the market. I personally talked with many customers, and I consider this move really an extremely important move to take a very strong leadership in the market, because Arsh brand not only put us in a position to be a supplier that is necessary to have, but will allow the group to even more push for cross sales. Last but not least, I think when you are in a business or in a niche business like we are, and you take the best brand, the jewel, from your direct competitor, you send a very strong message to the market, and I think a very positive message. I would stress also one last point. Canson has distributed for more than 40 years Arsh, so the integration will be extremely easy. All our people knows Arsh better than anyone else. We are talking of a company that made its turnover with very few SKUs. We are talking of almost 150 SKUs, so a very easy business to manage. And as we had the chance to discuss also in the last meeting in London, we have solved completely all our operational issue, so this integration really come in an idea moment, because we can dedicate the right time to absorb the inventory and take over the distribution worldwide. I have now terminated the presentation, and I think we can go to the Q&A session.
We will now begin the question and answer session. To ask a question, please press star then one. The first question comes from Alessandro Cecchini of Equita. Please go ahead.
Hello, everybody, and thank you for taking my questions. First of all, I would like to start with the synergies. You stated about significant synergies. I would like to better understand what kind of synergy do you expect from a quantitative and qualitative point of view, so, and the time frame that you expect in terms of cashing this kind of synergies. My second question is about the financing. What is the cost to finance this deal? And what are your expectations for the new, I mean, financial structure that you will have for 2020? I suppose in terms of covenants that will be, I mean, adjusted. I would like to know the new terms. And then finally, on the free cash flow and side of this business, I would like to better understand what kind of CapEx and net working capital needs for this business. And last question is about what is your expectation in terms of EBITDA for full year 2019 and EBIT full year 2019 for this business, just production. Thank you.
Good evening, Alessandro. Concerning Stefano will answer you the other questions, but concerning the synergies, of course, it's an argument that it is quite long. But trying to simplify as much as possible, ARCH Group, let's call ARCH not to mention Ahlstrom-Munksjö. ARCH was giving the distribution to a sole distributor until today. So the first obvious distribution is that as we buy the company, we do not run the risk anymore in 5 years to lose the contract. So that this is the first obvious synergy. Then they did not have the control of the market, giving the distribution to a sole distributor. During the due diligence, we have discovered that they make some mistakes because as they don't control the market, for example, they produce some private label which is absolutely useless. Not only, they for certain products they sell directly to certain customers in fine art business, which is again a stupid move because they don't keep under control the level of prices in the world. So in a certain way they compete with their sole distributor. Controlling the production, all these things will disappear. So there will be an improvement of the quality of the sales because everything will be on our hand. The second synergy will come from our sophisticated number of subsidiaries. Even Canson was working with three or four subsidiaries around the world. France, USA, they had Australia and China. Fila has much more subsidiaries around the world. Actually, Colart in many countries is working with the distributors. So little by little, all our subsidiaries will take over. Our subsidiaries, let me remember that this year are doing extremely well. So all of them, they will start absorbing ARCH and will take over the margins that today are made by distributors. Another important acquisition will be the repositioning of our presence in the business of watercolor paper. Today we are in the market with Canson and with St. Cuthbert. We compete in the entry level with the group Fabriano and we were competing at the high end with ARCH. Today we can segment the market much better. We are definitely protected in the high end because we are the leaders. But with St. Cuthbert and Canson, now we have more weapons to compete against our largest competitor, that is Fabriano. There are some synergies in the purchases of raw material because it is the same that St. Cuthbert is using. And I think I would stop there, saying a very obvious thing. If in production is integrated with distribution, until today there were some Chinese wall because the production wanted to steal margins from the distribution and the other way around. In the future we will be one company. Everybody will put resources and effort in the same direction. So we think that the R&D process, the sales process, meeting with customers will be much more effective. 50% of the turnover of Arche is made in North America. This is extremely important because Pacon is already on 100% of the customers, of the existing customer of Arche. This will help a lot the strategy of Pacon that has already a very strong leadership in North America in fine art. And definitely the possibility to have Arche has already generated a lot of phone calls from customers to me because we represent now a reality that clearly they have to take strong positions in our favor. And this is a very important sign. I think the other question, can you answer?
Other question was about CAPEX. This business doesn't need any material CAPEX. Yes, it's half a million, less than half a million for the first year, and then is already, the seller already did all the investment. We need except this additional little amount that we need. For the financing, Alessandro, we structure the financing this way. I mean, you know that the enterprise value is around 44 million, and then we had other costs, the transaction cost and some tax that is paid in this kind of business when you transfer a going concern from a company to another company. And so let's estimate that the total cash out is less than 50 million, including all in, 49 more or less. This cash out will be financed in this way. We will use half of the revolving credit facility that we have available in this moment. We have 50 million of revolving credit facility that we never use. And so this line is given by the bank normally as a backup line to the long-term facility. We pay commitment fee, so we find a solution to use half of this facility, that is 25 million, so that we save some, we do some synergy with the commitment fee that we pay currently. Part for 9 million will be used, we will use the cash in, coming from the sale of the superior business that we collect in the first week of October. And so the new financing will be reduced to 15 million, 1.5. This is the real additional financing that we need. This financing will be given by a bank, will be split in all the three lines that we have because we have some amortized line and some bullet line. The cost will be more or less the same because if you have understood, it's just 15 million that we put on the financing that we have at this moment. So the margin grid will not change much because this amount will not move anything on the margin grid, and so our margin will remain the same. And what we are negotiating with the bank, of course, are new covenants. The increase that we are asking to the bank that are under negotiation, but I think I can say agreed, is just to maintain and to create the normal headroom that we have. We always said that is we work with a good headroom, and so what the headroom that we had in the past will be maintained also in the future. We will negotiate the covenant in order to maintain the same headroom that we have and that we had prior the acquisition.
Okay, thank you. And about EBITDA and EBIT for this year for this production acquisition.
Sorry, Ale?
For the EBITDA and EBIT, your expectation for this year to 2019 for the business that you acquired, production only.
The production of 2019, that will be not included in our number, of course.
No, of course.
They told us it's above 4 million, but we expect something between 4 and 5 million.
With negligible depreciation and amortization, I think.
In the EBIT,
so just very little.
And the EBIT is the EBIT that you asked me the level of depreciation, amortization debt that this business has is not so high.
Let's double check.
Sorry, I don't have this number in this moment in front of me, but it's not material. I mean, I will answer to that in just a few minutes and then I will recover the number. Okay. And the working capital is more or less 1/3 of turnover.
How much, sorry?
1/3. 1/3 of the turnover.
Ah, okay. Okay, thank you.
Again, to ask a question, please press star then one. Next question comes from Isacco Brambilla of Mediobanca. Please go ahead.
Hi, good evening to everybody. Just a couple of questions from my side. The first one is on the biggest challenges you see on the integration of Arche, if you see any operational challenge. And the second one is, let's say, on a qualitative basis, if you can comment on potential further M&A activity in 2020, should we expect maybe something else? Are you working on something else? Or this acquisition, given your current leverage, prevents you from doing anything further on M&A in the next year?
Thanks for the question. I start from the second one. I think that if it were not a jewel like this, in this moment we are not focused on other M&A activity. And of course, this is the typical jewel that can happen once in the life. So we would have bought under any circumstances. By the way, the fact that we will be able to buy this company will allow us a very interesting organic growth in the next, I expect, three consecutive years. So really, the M&A activity can become, less of a priority. I don't see in 2020 any. No, I've learned in my life that any deal need between 18 months to 24 months to be finalized, And in this moment, we are focused only on our daily activities and now on the integration of Arch. So we can go back to the first question. No, we really don't see any operational issue for very simple reasons. We are not going to move the plant. The plant will stay there. The quality of this product is very much related to the quality of the water that we have over there, the quality of the air, the quality of the workers, the recipe, the secrets of the recipe. So definitely we have no interest to move the plant. Of course, we have to put this company on our SAP, but I cannot imagine that this has to be can be considered a big challenge. Concerning the distribution, this is not related to the acquisition. The distribution, anyway, we were working. We had the chance to find a common way with the actual distributor, which is not that immediate between competitors. We convinced them that instead of competing, maybe giving away the product, it would have been better that they sell under normal market price until December, and then we take over their inventory, which they estimated to be around 3.2, 3.3 million as of December 2019. We have considered that the first 3 months we will have low sales because for the price that we have decided with the distributor, they have more interest to sell in the market instead of us. So we think that the market will be quite charged of Arch range. So we have considered the first quarter slow. Being slow, we hope that the time that we bring in the inventory, we put the code and we start shipping, we should not consider any particular problem. Again, don't forget that all the stock will be put in Canson as it has been for 46 years. So while Colart had big problems for many months because they didn't know the SKUs, because they didn't know how to treat a very sophisticated paper and so on, we have people that have worked on Arch range for many, many years. So I don't really expect any kind of negative surprise. The only, let's say, conservative estimation is that for the first year we have considered at a budget level only 3/4 for sales.
Very clear. Maybe just one follow-up, more focused on opportunities rather than threats. Do you see any interesting market in which Colart was not distributing the brand and rather you could introduce Arch products?
I see Colart is a world leader. So with a very strong organization. By the way, they have been leaders in the world for almost 20 years, so they just lost the leadership in the last 2-3 years. I don't see that, except for India, in which we are definitely much stronger than them, and our partner is keen to start selling Arch, I don't see new countries. I definitely see a much better way to manage Arch sales through subsidiaries instead of distributors, because the choice of a distributor is very simple. Arch has 150 SKUs, but the very fast rotating SKUs are probably 10. A distributor takes 10 SKUs and they forget about everything else. So from a qualitative point of view, we really think that we can do better than Colart, specifically in China, because Colart had kind of counter interest with Arch. They have developed a range in competition with Arch, despite they were a distributor. In China, they were clearly pushing their own range. And this was an argument in our favor when we push Alstom Mungjo to choose us. So Arch in China, there is a huge demand for Arch. We expect a very strong growth of Arch in China thanks to the fact that our subsidiary will be focused on Arch. For the rest of the world, we think that simply we can do a slightly better job than them because we work with subsidiaries.
Very clear. Thanks.
The next question comes from Marcella Giuseppe of Exane BNP Paribas. Please go ahead.
Thank you for taking my question. And we've got a very good understanding of the fact that Arch is a unique asset. But can you please spend some more words to understand the peculiarity of the brand and the company? Thank you.
Sorry, Giuseppe, let me repeat your question because the line was extremely disturbed. You asked if you can
So just to understand the peculiarities of the brand, because we've got the impression that this is really a unique asset, but just to understand sources of competitive advantage and positioning. Thank you.
Okay. So let me repeat it. Why the brand is so strong and the differentiation versus the competition.
Yeah.
The brand. I think to give you an idea, we can compare to Ferrari in the cars or to Rolex in the watches. Has the total leadership in a niche of the market, which is the watercolor artist paper. Watercolor is a technique, one of the three techniques in the world. The others are oil, and the third one is acrylic, which is the less sophisticated. And among these three, watercolor is the fastest growing category, especially in Anglo-Saxon countries and in China. The reason why Arch is so strong, I think, is quite easy to explain. They are a little bit like Coca-Cola, so they have an original recipe that nobody has been able to match, even us with the St. Cuthbert. Especially when they finish to produce the paper, they dip the paper into a bath of gelatin that nobody knows really what it is, and gives an effect that is considered compulsory now from every single artist in the world. And as you can imagine, through e-commerce, this effect has been accelerated because it's easy for them to talk between one and the other. So really, the competition is extremely weak. Who is the competition? The competition, we tried to launch a super sophisticated range of paper called Heritage when we lost Arch, made by St. Cuthbert. And to give you an idea, in 3 years with our strength, and today we are considered the strongest supplier in the world of fine art, we have been able to invoice 600,000 euro on a yearly basis. Because when you go against a giant like this, it's extremely complicated. So the real alternative to Arch in the world is St. Cuthbert. And St. Cuthbert is very well known in UK, in which historically is a market leader, and is a follower in mainly in Australia and in United States. It is an alternative because St. Cuthbert is positioned in the area of 30-40% below Arch in terms of price. So the consumer considers St. Cuthbert good enough for their needs at a much more reasonable price. If we go further down, so another 20 percentage point, we have the water, the presence of Fabriano of the group Fedrigoni. Their quality is absolutely acceptable, but not even close to be compared to Arch. And by the way, this is a structural problem for them. So their equipment, their production cannot produce a better quality. So they can produce only this quality, which is maybe acceptable for student level or for beginners that like to learn how to draw with watercolor technique, but is not even close to be comparable to Arch. So what we are betting, let me remember one point. First of all, despite we now have the best brand in the world, if we combine the EBITDA we have from the distribution and the EBITDA we buy from the production, I think that Fila Group did an unbelievable job. That's why I started the call saying we made the best gift possible to Fila for its 100 years birthday. But it's not only this. It is the fact that in the world now we have this global presence. We work on a daily contact with consumers, and consumers today they tend to buy Arch, and then they decide what kind of colors they use, what kind of brushes they use. And in this case, we have in our portfolio the leader in brushes in North America. So there, the job will be quite easy. While in Europe, in China, in India, we have a lot of space to grow. And the same we can say for colors. I can guarantee you it's very difficult to convince a consumer to move from what they are used to use to your offer, but at least from tomorrow morning, or let's say from the 1st of January, we are going to be in contact with the large majority between Arch and St. Cuthbert. I think we are in direct contact with 80-90% of the worldwide consumer of watercolor paper. And we are going to put a very important budget to show them how good our brushes, how good are our colors. We are sure this will generate very important sales. Last but not least, the R&D department of our colors will start working beside the R&D department of the paper, because our target is to produce the best color suitable to the paper, which is something that the competition really cannot develop now. So our dream is really to improve the performance thanks to this joint effort of our R&D organization.
Thank you.
There are no more questions at the moment. We have another question from Martorelli Giordo of Amber Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello, gentlemen. I have a very quick question on 2019 numbers in 2020. What would be the impact, or is already reflected, of lower paper and pulp price in Arch business? How much is cost of goods sold, and how much could be the impact, if not yet recorded, going forward thanks to the positive tailwind from lower cost of raw material. Thanks.
Good evening, Giorgio. If I understood well, you want to know the impact of pulp on Arch paper. Did I understood correctly?
Yes. I don't know if it's already reflected in 2019 numbers or this is a positive additional boost to Arch numbers in 2020, which is not yet in the numbers because in 2019 the impact was not in the card.
Sorry if I seem a little bit joking, but the impact is zero because Arch does not use pulp. Arch uses cotton.
Cotton, right. So there is no positive. There's no positive on Arch standalone.
Anyway, the pulp will have a positive impact in United States in Pecon, will have a positive impact, especially in Canson. In which the market is more, let's say, unstable than United States, in which more controlled. But as you have for sure already done, if you analyze the profitability of Arch, which is really unbelievable, combining production and sales, the cost of goods sold of Arch is extremely low. So this company has margins in the area of 75%. So the raw material really does not affect the profitability of this company, or in a very limited way. Anyway, the paper of Arch is made by cotton, not by pulp.
Okay, my mistake. If I can, a follow-up question on Arch historical numbers. You were mentioning a poor distribution work of Colarta in the last couple of years, which was the reason for the clients to change the distribution agreement and to have you distributing the product. Can we have numbers of Arch in the last 3 years? Did you recorded or Arch recorded a poor performance in terms of sales and EBITDA? Was a stable one. So there's no easy gain to post thanks to a more efficient distribution activity in Arch standalone.
Okay, here the answer is quite positive, even if you ask me to make a little bit an effort of creativity. But the numbers of Colart compared to the number of Canson have gone down. I have seen this number in terms of tons, from an average of 1,000 tons of Canson to 700 tons in Colart. The company has anyway performed extremely well because they have developed two business of private label in fine art, and one of the two is with Colart, which really I don't understand because they create competition inside themselves. And they produce private label for a German competitor of Fila that I have the feeling that I will not supply anymore, because in Germany we have a very good subsidiary that is doing a very good job, so I really have no interest to supply a company that sells against me saying this is the same paper, you shouldn't buy Fila. So I would rather stop supplying them and sell Arch. Then they have a line of product that for a strategic mistake, it is called printmaking. Printmaking, to let you understand, is the paper in which printers mainly, or people that like to write in a very, you know, very elegant or historic way when you have to prepare a leaflet or marriages or things like that. This kind of business is sold actually in fine art business. For whatever reason, they didn't give to Colart has in United States, so Colart had in United States, but not in Europe. They gave to another distributor in Europe at wrong price and wrong positioning, too low. So we are going to take over immediately this business, and this will improve the margins, we think, in the area of 300,000 to 400,000 euro of net margins, because they are positioning clearly at the wrong price. To give you an idea, Arsh, same product in United States, is sold 50% more expensive, which is absolutely unbelievable in the era of internet, because his customer will discover one day they will react very negatively. So very soon I will take over this business. Last but not least, when Colart was going down with volumes, there is a business that is fast growing around the world, that is the high-end labels of prestigious champagne or prestigious high-end red wine of France, and they are more and more asking for Arsh paper for labels. And this business has grown in the last 3 years to compensate the loss of Colart volumes. So at the end, the company has been able to maintain a good profitability. Colart has reduced the business, thus they have lost the distribution. So we are confident that in the next 3 years, we will have an organic growth just working better than what they did. But let me remember, in order to be clear and transparent, when you decide to implement changes, so you give a resignation to a customer, for example, like it is printmaking, then you take over the sales, then you start selling to your distribution channel, you will see the result towards the second half of 2020, so the full results in 2021 is not a change overnight, as I think you have started to understanding since you follow Fila. So things happen normally in 12, 18 months.
Okay, thanks so much.
There are no more questions.
So thanks a lot, everybody, and we will talk again soon for the third quarter results.